Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 34 of 2021. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at The Odds Breakers and follow us on social media /The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by MyBookie.ag. For a 50% sign-up bonus, please visit MyBookie and use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs and sponsor the website and the podcast, we'd love to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, and become a member. For $24.99 a month, you can get my premium plays before the line moves. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. What a crazy NFL draft. It was actually a very good draft, especially as a Bears fan. I got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised and very surprised on what they are able to pull off. Can't believe I actually like a draft from the Chicago Bears. This is the first draft, the very first, that I was positive on in the Ryan Pace era. Kentucky Derby, on the other hand, didn't go quite as well. We did pick the winning horse. We picked two of them, Rock Your World and Medina Spirit. Unfortunately, the smaller play was on Medina Spirit, but we didn't get the number two horse, so that screwed a few things up. But that's definitely horse racing for you, and we'll regroup for the Preakness. We have a great show for you today. I'm actually just going solo. Going to do some recap of the NFL draft. Going to go over the Pro Football Focus grades and tell you my thoughts. Maybe give it a grade or so per team. And then I'm going to go into something that I've been working on since the draft, the Pythagorean win totals from 2020, adjusted for 17 games. I'm going to get into that and the importance of it. And then finally, we're going to do a little UFC on ESPN for your weekend viewing pleasure. Let's step right out by getting into the NFL draft. From a betting perspective, it went well. It's been better in the past, but it was profitable for us. First day was a little dicey. Missed some of the plus plays we were looking for to make it a great day that we've had before. So we were kind of just hanging on for dear life the whole day until finally the no safety prop hit at plus 180, putting us into the black and over the top. And the next day, we went 2-0 because Tyson Chandler went under 39.5. He was actually, I believe, the first pick of the second round. And Davis Mills went over 60.5. And I was getting a little worried about the Davis Mills over 60.5 that we gave away to premium subscribers because, well, Mel Kiper had him as his sixth best quarterback, right? I mean, the top five quarterbacks were gone in the first round, and Mel Kiper sitting there saying he's one of the best guys left on the draft. Well, I don't know how accurate that guy is all the time, and he was very high on Mitch Trubisky, if you remember. But I did worry that some of the GMs would follow his advice. Lucky enough for us, the GMs did what I thought they should and go after Kyle Trask first, which went to Tampa. Great spot for him, too, learning behind Brady with Bruce Arians there. And Kellen Mond went to Minnesota. So he ended up being like the 69th pick. And by the Houston Texans, by all means, very strange draft for the Texans. And Mills doesn't even have the same qualities as a Deshaun Watson. So that one certainly was a head scratcher. But either way, they try to get some insurance for their guy who is being charged of multiple crimes. Thought that very interesting. But let's get into the strength of these teams now that the draft is over? And I don't mean overall strength. I mean, did they, how well did they do? How did they improve their team by drafting? And we're not going to spend too much time, obviously, because I think it's more important to when we finally do our season win total podcast, which is probably going to start in a week or two, to get into what these teams did in free agency, the draft, obviously how hard their schedule was, their Pythagorean win total, their real win total, things like that, that function and matter into developing a next year's season win total. Schedule's a big thing. So that's the important part when it comes to betting season win totals. But every little piece is part of the equation, and it's important. Starting with the Arizona Cardinals, Zaven Collins was their first pick, and I liked that. You know, the Cardinals needed a bunch of defense, really. They actually could have improved their defensive line a little bit more. But Zaven Collins should help against the run and against the pass. He was a beast at Tulsa. He was probably my top two linebacker in the draft, you know. After thinking about it, I watched the kid play. I watched the interception against Tulane. I was watching that game. He just kind of was a man amongst boys. I like that. Their second pick of Rondale Moore is definitely a head-scratcher for me because they already have A.J. Green that they got out of free agency. They got DeAndre Hopkins, if you remember, from last year. And Christian Kirk, who was drafted like 2 years ago, right? And don't forget you have Keyshawn Johnson that plays pretty well and Andy Isabella. So what are they doing picking Rondale Moore that early? Now, I like Rondale Moore. Very short, but extremely fast. Could be a game changer if you can hit him in the slot. But is Kyler Murray that kind of quarterback? Short guy to short guy? Kind of feels like those passes might be batted down a little bit. So really a head scratcher for me on that pick. And I kind of thought they should have kept going defense, but they ended up getting cornerback Marco Wilson, who was a good value from Florida. They didn't really address the defensive line like I thought they should have. I mean, they did get J.J. Watt, but they still were very poor against the run. Watt's more of a pass rushing defensive end. So I thought there was opportunity that they missed on. And this, they just might not be able to give Kyler Murray good time of possession if their defense is on the field because they can't stop the run. Next team. Well, let's just say Pro Football Focus gives them a B-. I stick with that. I think that's probably about right. The Atlanta Falcons. Kyle Pitts was their first pick. You know? Definitely like that one because how can you not like Kyle Pitts? I don't like the fact that their defense stinks. They got a safety named Richie Grant from UCF. Don't know a ton about him. I know their defense was very bad last year, especially against the pass. But of course, one guy can't change that. They did get offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield. But their defense, they really addressed that late. So I am very concerned for the Atlanta Falcons as well. Pro Football Focus gives them a B. I'm going to give them a C+. Because what good is Kyle Pitts? If you're just getting rid of Julio Jones, you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul there. Because they're going to trade Julio Jones after June 1st. And, you know, Julio's still got a lot left in the tank. The problem with Julio is that he's a bit of a diva. He doesn't practice. And he's like literally week to week every single week. Probably won't be a high fantasy draft this year for Julio. The Baltimore Ravens, wide receiver Rashad Bateman, barely got to over 26.5 on that one for premium. But either way, we got the offense first for the Ravens. And I like their draft. You know, Bateman was a little bit like you really need a receiver when Lamar Jackson is just mostly a running quarterback. Well, maybe they're going to try to change that. I don't know if they can, but that Odafe Owe from Penn State, massive 4.3640, weighing like 260 pounds, was just amazing like I said before, hopefully he's not one of those look like Tarzan plays like Jane type players. Didn't have a sack last year. But the way that, you know, Penn State played their game, they're just all over the place on defense. And it was just kind of a weird year. So I think with some coaching, this guy could be an absolute beast. Got a nice guard from Georgia as well. Pro Football Focus gives him a B+. I agree with that. Buffalo Bills, two edge rushers in a row. Gregory Rousseau, Carlos Basham. And then they go offensive line, Spencer Brown, Tommy Doyle. Marquez Stevenson, they won't go wide receiver later. Here's the thing. They did lose John Brown, right? So I thought that maybe they should have went receiver in the second round or so. But at the same time, they did sign Emmanuel Sanders. So just kind of another situation where this team at least filled what they did. They got Mitch Trubisky. Don't need to say a lot about him. They did lose Quentin Jefferson, defensive tackle. And I didn't see a move to replace that. I'm going to give the Bills a B-. Pro Football Focus gives them a B. Carolina Panthers, cornerback J.C. Horn. Really like that corner. Terrence Marshall, wide receiver from LSU, set next. Brady Christensen, offensive tackle, is next. They made some good trades during the draft with the Bears. Got a bunch of picks later. We got Chuba Hubbard, running back from Oklahoma State. Hopefully CMC stays healthy this year. I like what they're doing there. Not so sold on Sam Darnold in general. But as far as the draft, you know, they covered some of their holes. They could have done a little bit more on defense, though. B- is what they were given, and I agree with that. The Chicago Bears, couldn't believe they were able to move up for Justin Fields, and they did give up next year's first-round draft pick and like a fourth-rounder. That's not terrible for a quarterback. They swap first-rounders and give up another rounders. If Justin Fields is going to be the franchise quarterback, it's well worth it. The question is, how is he going to develop? Well, his measurables were amazing. He was the smartest quarterback out of the 6,500 people that took the memory test. I mean, that's pretty good. You can remember formations in your plays. He also has had a higher number of pass attempts beyond his first read, 19.69% more than any other top quarterback. He can check down with the best of them, not to mention his 4.4 speed. This is why he was my second quarterback coming off the board, and the Bears made a move to get up, and I'm shocked. I mean, I don't think Andy Dalton's going to be starting too long in Chicago. Maybe the first game or two, but as soon as he screws up, that leash is going to be pulled, and Justin Fields is going to go in. But it's not just that. The Bears also traded up for offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins, who is my second best tackle in the draft, and I'm not even sure he's not the first. I mean, if you watch the tape on this kid, he's mean. He just blows people away, drives them out of bounds onto their backs. You know, he looks like a nice kid with a big smile and with glasses on and in his picture, but don't let that fool you, man. There's some dog in this guy. I mean, he's kind of like a Orlando Brown with rabies, something like that. I've heard a few different type of rabies comparisons, but really happy for that. And then they got another offensive tackle, Larry Borum from Missouri. That was a head-scratcher because I thought they needed to go cornerback, and they are still weak at cornerback, but they had to let some salary go. They let Massey go, and they just let left tackle Charles Leno go. So they're going to be really green right now in the offensive line. I don't like that. But they did find some guys off their practice squad that was better than their current team that they had last year. So I found that interesting with the Bears, guys like Mustafa, Bars, and a few other guys. Pro Football Focus gives them an A+. I'm going to give them an A, which is still probably one of the highest in the whole draft itself. Cincinnati Bengals, they draft Ja'Marr Chase at number 5. I lost that bet. I thought it was going to be over 5.5. Ja'Marr Chase, don't like it. I don't like it at all because they're just kind of caught into the whole fantasy football type thing and don't think about the fact that the Bengals need to have time of offense on the field more than a playmaker on the field. I mean, they just drafted T. Higgins. They have Boyd there. There's tons of receivers. They should have went Penei Sewell with that pick. Now, they did get Jackson Carmen from Clemson, which was like the 8th or 9th best tackle in the second round. But Clemson's big issue last year, if you remember, was their offensive line, right? That's what they kept getting criticized for. So that, I'm not sure I like that pick at all. And I think by not helping their defense, they got some edge rushers later. You know, they got a round 3 edge rusher in round 4, but they still are weak at cornerback, weak at linebacker. You know, they're just going to sit there with their defense on the field most of the game, and Ja'Marr Chase might not even matter. I give them a D. Pro Football Focus is nice enough to give them a B. I give them a D for their draft. We'll see who's right about that. The Cleveland Browns. Cornerback Greg Newsome from Northwestern, round 1. Round 2, Jeremiah Owusu-Komamora from Notre Dame. Fast linebacker, very fast. Anthony Schwartz, super fast wide receiver from Auburn. He's one of the fastest out there. Like 4.2-something 40, I believe. James Hudson, then, offensive tackle out of Cincinnati. Cincinnati was a great school last year, if you remember. Couple guys from Ohio State, or just one from Ohio State. I liked what Cleveland did. I think that they're already pretty set and pretty stacked coming into this year. But I still think that they did a great job in this draft. And I think they might have done the best job out of all the teams next to the Chicago Bears and a few others. Pro Football Focus gives them an A+. I'm going to give them an A. Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons from Penn State, linebacker. They traded down, actually, from 10 to 12. Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky, cornerback. A couple other guys, edge rusher, Chauncey Golston from Iowa. Defensive lineman from UCLA, Osa Odeguzibwa. Probably just destroyed his name. I don't remember saying it much during the season. Obviously, the Pac-12 didn't play much. But they had a bunch of picks. I mean, Micah Parsons sat out last year. He's supposed to be really good, but not so happy that he sat out. I'm going to give Dallas a C for their draft. Pro Football Focus gives him a B. The Denver Broncos. Patrick Surtain from Alabama. Running back Javonte Williams from North Carolina. Interesting pick there. Got Melvin Gordon, and they're going running back that early. Offensive line, Quinn Meinertz from Wisconsin Whitewater. He's supposed to be a really highly ranked guard. And linebacker Baron Browning, which I really like. I liked the Baron Browning pick. All right. Then, you know, lots of picks after that. I mean, if it wasn't for Baron Browning, I'd be pretty upset about this draft because they didn't fix their quarterback position, but if they get Aaron Rodgers, I guess that's not going to matter. Maybe that's their plan all around. And this whole thing about Aaron Rodgers hijacking the draft, I find extremely entertaining as a Bears fan. But the truth is, both sides are to blame some on this because the Packers not drafting an offensive player the last 10 years in their first pick of the draft, except for Rodgers' replacement in Kevin Love, is frustrating. I mean, that's got to be frustrating for a quarterback. That's just their GM not even listening to you, right? Gutekunst, their GM. Man, what a mess. I mean, as a Packer fan, if Rodgers wants him fired, what an awful thing to do for your organization to do that. But, man, they're just in an embarrassing situation. Poor communication there. And just a lot of animosity between both sides. Both sides kind of calling each other's bluff here. Just an awful situation for a team that almost made it to the Super Bowl if it hadn't been for one blown play on defense and obviously Tom Brady being Tom Brady. But man, you know, that team was maybe the best team coming into the playoffs next to Kansas City. And how do you let this happen? But I got to tell you, as a Bears fan, I find this extremely fulfilling.
Good. Use your aggressive feelings, boy. Let the heat flow through you.
Next team. Detroit Lions. Oh, yeah. Denver, A-. They got, I'll give them a B+. Detroit Lions, Penei Sewell. I mean, that's a great pick for a rebuilding team. Then a couple D linemen, one from Washington, Levi and Aleem McNeil from NC State, who's just a beast, that Aleem McNeil guy. Then, you know, thins out after that, but I got to tell you, the Lions did the right thing if they're not going to go up for a quarterback. And I just think they're completely rebuilding. So why get a quarterback? If you're actually not trying to win this year, then I'm okay with you blowing off some stuff. I think they are rebuilding. Pro Football Focus gives them an A-. Not quite that high on it. Probably a B+, though. The Green Bay Packers. Cornerback Eric Stokes from Georgia. Another corner. And he resigned King. So that's interesting. Center Josh Myers from Ohio State. They definitely like to keep their offensive line big. And wide receiver Amari Rodgers from Clemson, who was pretty good. They finally got a wide receiver late. I do like the philosophy of picking wide receivers late. And tackle Royce Newman from Ole Miss. I mean, this draft wasn't bad. A lot of people didn't like it. Stokes is one of the fastest guys out there, too. Right? So, you know, a lot of people are shaming them for not getting a receiver in the first round. But seriously, who was left? In my opinion, I had three guys graded in the first round. You know, the rest of them were kind of, we'll see. I mean, Amari Rodgers, I didn't have him as high as like a T. Higgins or anything, but he could be better, right? I mean, he played for Clemson. Obviously catching a lot of passes from Trevor Lawrence. Pro Football Focus gives them a C-. I give them a C+. I thought there's a few better guys they could have taken at round one than Eric Stokes. But at the same time, I'm glad they didn't go receiver because I didn't think that it would have moved the needle enough. What they did miss out on was defensive line. Got one late to Darryl Slayton from Florida. And that was their biggest problem, was sometimes they would give up massive yardage to the run game. You know, a running team like the Ravens or the Niners would be their kryptonite. Houston Texans. First pick, Davis Mills, massive head scratcher, and they didn't get their first pick until the third round. Next pick, Nico Collins, wide receiver from Michigan. Man, Brevin Jordan, tight end from Miami. He's okay. What a terrible draft for the Texans. But at the same time, what the hell are they doing? Are they rebuilding? You know, are they blowing this thing up? Because of the whole Deshaun Watson thing, again, They couldn't fix their defense. They lost J.J. Watt. The year before, they trade DeAndre Hopkins, their best player. Just awful for the Texans. I give them a D- for this draft. One of the worst out there that I've seen. Indianapolis Colts, Kwity Paye, edge rusher from Michigan. Pretty good edge rusher. Not sure if he's, I thought he was a little bit overhyped. Then they got another edge rusher, similar to what Buffalo did. And the guy from Vanderbilt, Dio Odeyingbo. You know, I mean, the Colts were getting a little thin on defense. I thought they needed a little bit more help for and safety. But they did get Carson Wentz in the offseason. They have some young receivers there. They were so close last year. But Phillip Rivers just can't get the job done. Just shows flashes. They did get Sam Ellinger later, which I do like. I like this draft. Pro Football Focus gave them a C+. I give them a B+. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, trade up for Travis Etienne. They also complained that they didn't get Kadarius Toney, so I thought that was weird. But they did get Etienne, brought those two back together. I thought that was interesting. They can work hard together. Could be a great combination. Cornerback Tyson Campbell, really like that. Walker Little from Stanford. That offensive tackle is a sneaky one. Really like Jacksonville's draft. I think their defense is still going to suck. But hey, they got Trevor Lawrence there. The question I have is, will Urban Meyer change his offense to adjust to the NFL? Pro Football Focus gives them a B+. I give them an A. Absolutely an A, Trevor Lawrence. Kansas City. Obviously, they made that big trade for Orlando Brown, so that was their draft. Factor that in a little bit, because it starts with round two, linebacker Nick Bolton from Missouri, center Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. They didn't have that many picks, so I'm just going to give them a C. But, you know, they didn't need a ton. I thought they could have maybe gotten a little bit more defense, but, you know, they lost some of their games because of their defense and let a lot of teams back in the game because of their defense. We'll see if this Nick Bolton guy's for real. I guess when you have Patrick Mahomes, nothing is that bad, is it? I'll give them a B-. The Raiders, Alex Leatherwood, tackle from Alabama. And I do like that tackle. A lot of people thought he was overpicked. I didn't think so. Safety, Trevon Moehrig. He was the best safety on a lot of people's boards. I think he was like the third safety pick, though, all in the second round. Edge rusher, Malcolm Kuntz from Buffalo. And a couple other guys, Divine Diablo from Virginia Tech. I've seen him get toasted before by Tutu Atwell. Tyrese Gillespie from Missouri, another safety. I mean, not a terrible draft. They did lose some offensive line, so they needed the big offensive line pick. But, I mean, let's just hope these guys pan out because their defense was horrible last year. And their Pythag wasn't that good either, which we'll get into soon. Pro Football Focus gives them a C. I'll give them a C+. L.A. Chargers, Rashawn Slater, great tackle. He was like my top three tackle coming in. Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State. I hope he's more than just his name when his pops played. Josh Palmer from Tennessee, wide receiver. Yeah, I mean, the Chargers really poor on defense last year. Again, they always seem to get hurt on defense. Is Joey Bosa actually going to be healthy this year? You know, big questions there. But if Samuel can help them a little bit, if Slater can help them on offense to protect Herbert, more power to you. I give him a B. Pro Football Focus gives them an A+. Not going to go that high. But I give him a B. I guess a pretty big difference between what I think and what they think. Tutu Atwell. Los Angeles Rams, was that their top pick was Tutu Atwell. Another head scratcher there. I like Tutu Atwell and thought he was a fine receiver to be drafted later in the second or third round, and he went late in the second. Ernest Jones, linebacker from South Carolina. Bobby Brown, defensive line from Texas A&M. So, I mean, the Rams, they were a quarterback away last year. And maybe a little bit more. I thought they could have gotten a little bit better on the offensive line. They did run block pretty well. But misdirection is what Sean McVay seems to do. And that's how they get their yards. If the other teams sniff it out, they can look pretty bad. But maybe this Matt Stafford thing, it completely changes them around. That's why they're one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. They give him a C. I'm going to give him a C plus. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Jalen Waddle, edge rusher Jalen Phillips, safety Javon Holland from Oregon, offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg. I can't believe Eichenberg fell that far. Well, I guess it was round two. It was their fourth pick. They had a ton of picks. I keep remembering that was still a high pick. But they're able to make some trades in this draft. I traded up to get Eichenberg. I mean, I really like their draft. Jalen Phillips was really good for Miami. I wish they got Devonta Smith instead of Jalen Waddle, but I guess Waddle's awesome too. Hopefully he holds up and injuries won't be an issue, right? But I like the Dolphins draft. I give him an A-, Pro Football Focus gives him a B+. The Vikings tackle Christian Darrisaw, quarterback Kellen Mond. That's going to push Kirk Cousins. Linebacker Chaz Surratt from North Carolina. Maybe my top-rated linebacker. So, well, he wasn't top. He was top four for sure. Can't remember. But I really like him. Getting him in the third round was fantastic. Wyatt Davis, guard from Ohio State. Really like what they did there, but is their defense going to get better? They have a ton of picks from last year. A lot of them didn't turn out. I mean, we'll see if they kind of turn out this year. But, man, do or die for Kirk Cousins this year.
Come on. Don't bullshit me.
B+ is what they got. I give them an A-. I like their draft. Hate to say it as a Bears fan, but they could be the sleeper team coming into this year. New England Patriots. Mac Jones from Alabama, quarterback. Christian Barmore from Alabama, defensive line. Like that pick. Two Alabama guys in a row. Ronnie Perkins, edge rusher from Oklahoma. How can you not like that? Then it thins out, but man, couldn't believe Mac fell to the Patriots and no one scooped him up like Washington or something, traded up for him. I mean, this is your perfect project from the Tom Brady era, right? As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure Cam Newton's going to hold a starting job that long. Who's going to hold their starting job longer? Andy Dalton or Cam Newton, right? I mean, that's the question. I would say Cam Newton slightly longer, but Mac Jones is NFL ready, playing from an NFL type offense. Grade is A+ from Pro Football Focus. I give them an A for sure. New Orleans Saints, edge rusher Peyton Turner from Houston. They did go edge first. That one was a head scratcher because I had Rousseau there and some better edge rushers than Peyton Turner. They got Pete Warner from Ohio State, a good linebacker there in the second. Paulson Adebo from Stanford in the third. Ian Book in the fourth, which is kind of like their, I hope I can have another short quarterback that's awesome like Drew Brees type pick. So, I mean, we'll see what happens to the Saints, but they lost a lot more in free agency that this draft's going to fix. So, very, and a retirement, right, with Brees. Jameis Winston there. Ooh. Sean Payton's gonna age this year. They get a C. I give them a C. New York Giants, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver. I like how they got some more picks for next year. Another first round trading down, so you got to credit them for that. Their edge with Azeez Ajulari in the second round. Could not believe he was still there. So, was pleasantly surprised with that pick. As I said before, he might be the best edge guy for a 3-4 defense. And Dave Gettleman did screw up some of my draft picks, some of my draft bets, that is. But the fact that he got Azeez there and Tony, you could flip-flop them, and it still works out for you. Aaron Robinson, cornerback from UCF. I still think that they're going to give up some points, but they're going to be a contender for sure in the NFC East. I would pick them to go farther than the Cowboys. Sorry, I would right now. Not a big Dak guy. Plus, Cowboys, their offensive line just went downhill last year. New York Jets, quarterback Zach Wilson. Lots of hype on Zach Wilson. Let's hope that that easy schedule wasn't the reason why he was so good last year. He looked good on his pro days, right? They got Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive line. Second pick of the draft, 14th pick in the draft, 34th pick in the draft. Like Jacksonville, they had a ton of picks. Wide receiver Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, I like him. They got Michael Carter from North Carolina, running back. North Carolina had two running backs. Williams was better. I think they missed out on the running back thing. And they could have got some more help in offensive line. I also got Michael Carter the second from Duke at cornerback, so found that interesting. Sherwood from Auburn at safety. Pretty good draft. I would say an A-. An A- for me. Pro Football Focus gives him an A. Philadelphia Eagles, wide receiver Devonta Smith from Alabama. Interior offensive line, Landon Dickerson from Alabama. Another two Alabama guys going. Let's just make this the Alabama draft. Defensive line, Milton Williams from Louisiana Tech. Quarterback, Zach McPherson from Texas Tech. Pretty good draft for the Eagles. The question is Jalen Hurts going to be the man that we kind of saw flashes of? Well, he can run the ball pretty fast. He's kind of a winner, not the most accurate guy. I mean, there's ways to beat him if the NFC East can figure it out. They're smart enough to figure it out. Kind of the same way you probably have to play Lamar Jackson. So I just think that I think that the draft was cool. It was cool putting Devontae Smith with Jalen Hurts again. You know, really interesting. I wonder how that's going to work out because, to be honest with you, Hurts lost his job because he couldn't get the ball out to Devontae Smith or Ruggs or Jetty enough. You know, and then all of a sudden Tua comes in and he throws that bomb to Devontae Smith to beat Georgia and win the championship, right? So that's kind of like how it went down, but maybe this is their redemption year. The Eagles are a big head scratcher to me, at least right now, because they have a new coach, right? Nick Sirianni. And I just don't know what to think about him yet. I mean, I find it interesting that he's moving from an offensive coordinator to coach, but at the same time, I mean, what was that last year? You know, what was that the year before? I know you lost some quarterbacks. Carson Wentz has been injured a lot for you. But was it the players? He was there after the Super Bowl. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for the Super Bowl. So maybe he was the reason for their demise. Man, Price needs to be good if I want to take the Eagles. Next team that we have, and I'm sorry, B minus is what they get for, and I think that's about accurate, a B minus or a C plus. Pittsburgh Steelers, Najee Harris, running back, tight end Pat Freiermuth from Penn State, center Kendrick Green from Illinois, offensive tackle Dan Moore Jr. from Texas A&M, and linebacker Buddy Johnson from Texas A&M, defensive line Isaiah Loudermilk from Wisconsin. I like the picks, but they lost Matt Filer from Pittsburgh to the Chargers, right tackle, and they lost their left tackle, Alejandro Villanueva, just signed with Baltimore. So I am concerned. Now, I know they drafted the center, but what's going on with the tackles? They did sign Joe Haig from Tampa Bay, and Haig was kind of that, you know, I guess like your best, your sixth man type offensive line for a while. You know, I think he was on Tennessee before Tampa, but I just think that they might be a little weak there at Tampa, but I do love the Najee Harris pick. It's all about their offensive line. If their offensive line holds up for them rebuilding it into this year, they're going to be great, in my opinion. They're going to be great. You know, they were able to keep a bunch of guys. James Conner's didn't matter. They re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster, which I thought was very important. They did lose Bud Dupree. They had to lose somebody. They lost Mike Hilton. But Juju signed a one-year deal at $8 million. This is their year. We'll see what happens. I mean, unfortunately, the AFC North is absolutely stacked. C is what they give them. I give them a B. I think they could address tackle a little bit better. San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance, North Dakota State, traded a ton for him. Lost two future round, first round picks, two of them, and a third rounder to swap this one. Man, what a move. And then they draft guard Aaron Banks from Notre Dame. Running back Trey Sermon from Ohio State. I do like the running back, but you know, they do have a lot of running backs there. Man, Avery Thompson, cornerback from Michigan. Not sure if I like that. I'm sorry. That was a reach to draft Trey Lance. He was only my seventh best quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. That was a reach. They get a B from Pro Football Focus. I give them a D plus. They're in win now mode. What are you doing with a new quarterback right now to groom? I mean, you made a big move for Garoppolo. You think a rookie's going to fix you? That's a big, big risk that they took, in my opinion, with a team that's ready to win right now. Don't like it.
You're fired.
Seattle Seahawks had three picks of the draft. Round two, wide receiver Dwayne Eskridge from Western Michigan, cornerback Trey Brown from Oklahoma, and offensive tackle Stone Forsythe from Florida. I mean, what the heck happened to the Seattle Seahawks? Their defense was horrible last year. And now the whole all this Russell Wilson stuff, massive distraction going on. I mean, they signed some defensive players in the offseason. Take a quick look here. Guys like Kerry Hyder from San Francisco, defensive end. Akello Witherspoon, cornerback. That was a pretty good signing. Spent some money on him. Al Woods, defensive tackle from Jacksonville. Just kind of a couple second-rate guys, right? But they also lost some. Shaq Griffin, gone to Jacksonville. Right? They lost Jaron Reed. Not sure he was that good anyway, but geez, Kansas City paid for him. So I don't know. I still think their defense is going to be massively weak. Still an overs team, for sure. I give them a D plus for their draft. Pro Football Focus gave them a C. Tampa Bay Bucks. First pick was Edge Joe Tryon from Washington. Second pick was Kyle Trask. Third pick was interior line Robert Hainsey from North Carolina. Yeah, I mean, I don't really, besides Kyle Trask, the other guys I don't know a ton about, to be honest with you. KJ Britt from Auburn, linebacker, but Tampa Bay was so stacked, they didn't really need a ton. They get a B minus. I'll give them a C plus for this draft. Tennessee Titans, Caleb Farley, cornerback, bad pick, injury risk. He's been injured a lot in his college career. MCL was torn, couple back surgeries right before this draft. Don't love that. Offensive tackle Dylan Red Dunes from North Dakota State. Interesting pick there. I mean, North Dakota State's good, but they're still not Division One. Linebacker Monty Rice from Georgia. Not liking this draft at all. Pro Football Focus gives them an A. I give them a C-. Washington football field. Washington football team. Linebacker Jameen Davis from Kentucky. I think he was my best linebacker. No, him, Collins. Collins, Parsons, Davis, and then Chaz Sherratt, I think it was. But either way, I like the pick. Round one, first pick of the draft. And Samuel Cosmi, the best tackle in as far as the combine. Well, the pro day, I mean. He had a ton of bench presses, great vertical jump, was one of the fastest tackles, weighing over like 320 pounds. But the guy has some issues with his standing. It's too straight when it comes to blocking. He's gotten beaten on some edge rushes. So he's definitely somebody that needs to be worked with by the coaches, but lots of great measurables. They got a cornerback from Minnesota, Benjamin St. Juste. Dynamy Brown from North Carolina, wide receiver, like that one. Tight end, just John Bates from Boise State. A pretty good draft for Washington, but I mean, is Fitzmagic going to do it? That's the question. They're going to be a contender for sure in that Big East, the NFC East that was terrible last year, obviously. But are they going to take a step forward with everybody else? They're going to need to if they want to keep up with the Giants and the Eagles, in my opinion. A- is what they got from Pro Football Focus. I give them a B+. And that ends our draft recap. Obviously, when we do our season win totals by division, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the players that were drafted and obviously the free agency moves and much more. For the next topic, I'm going to talk about NFL 2020 Pythagorean season win totals adjusted for 17 games. I did a lot of work on this. It didn't seem like there's any data out there for this, probably because they're switching to 17 games and nobody's just gotten on it, right? So I figured that I'll crunch the equations through a spreadsheet and get it done for everybody. So what the Pythagorean win total means is the Pythagorean theorem, we have to start there. It's a squared plus b squared equals c squared. It's to figure out the distance between two points of a right triangle. You know what a is, you know what b is. You square them both, you can figure the distance between the points on C. It's the hypotenuse, right? So the theory is that there's a relationship between the A and B to make the C, right? Basically what A is, in football terms, if you're looking at it, is total points that you scored. You can do it by yards if you want it as well. We're going to focus on points. And B is total points that you gave up. So, you know, you can look at it like, I want to see how many points I've scored compared to the total points in each game. And you look at it from a season. Now, the reason you do that instead of real wins and loss totals is because NFL, it's a crazy game, right? The best team doesn't always win, as you know. It's a strange shaped object as is football. Bounces many different ways. Field goals are missed. There are turnovers in games, right? A lot of times teams will score a bunch of points in bunches and lose all their close games. Yet they're much better than what their record showed because of it. But the only way we can find that out is by doing models based on statistics like the Pythagorean win totals. Basically what it is the relationship. I mean, you don't care about A squared plus B squared equals C squared as much as you care about what A squared is over C squared. A squared over C squared. C squared is basically A squared plus B squared. So basically, you're trying to find out what the actual win totals are based upon that relationship. You get a fraction when you compute that, and you multiply it by the 17 games that you're going to have. Now you have to make the adjustments for that. You know, so looking at the total points scored, you have to add the average points per game back to it. Simply, you can just look at the total points and multiply it by 1.0625, which is 17 over 16. So, for example, the Packers averaged 31.8 points. You can round it to 32, and they had 509 points for the total season. Since they averaged 32, you just add that one game back into that. You have 541, right? That's how you figure it out for 17 games. And then we go even farther by normalizing it for turnovers. Now, people say turnovers are lucky. What I say is that they're somewhat predictable, right? I mean, if you look at the turnover ratios for Baltimore over the past 6-7 years, if you look at them for Kansas City over the past 6 or 7 years, always in the positive, right? So I think they're somewhat predictable for teams. If you have a ball-hawking defense that can knock the ball away, and it's going to happen more often than not, you have to factor that in, right? And if you have a defense that doesn't get a lot of turnovers, well, maybe your offense is a little sloppy and they're going to give up the ball, and that's more predictable. Like Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston. I mean, how much are you going to reward them and give them back their turnovers to normalize it to zero when it's just going to happen every year? So, in my opinion, it's somewhat predictable, and I say 50% predictable. So you have to take a point away from the offense if they're a positive turnover, and give a point back to the defense. Or actually, you're taking it away because you're adding it to what they allowed to adjust for your season win total. And there's going to be an article that I send out on this that you can read that you're going to better understand it. So this is basically Pythagorean win totals based on a 17-game season, or turning last year's into a 17-game season and adding and subtracting the turnover luck. And we're penalizing half a game. People used to penalize 80% because a turnover is worth 4 points. So we're doing 2 points, one for the offense, one for the defense, as I just discussed. But people used to say 80% of it is random, and so we're going to give 3.2 points back to the teams for turnovers, right? But no, in my opinion, it's 2 points from what I just discussed, especially from a recency bias. If you look at like the last 20 years, you can say turnovers were random because you've had five different quarterbacks, maybe more, from any of these teams. But the last 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, turnovers are somewhat predictable. But anyways, we did this for every single team, and we found out the differences between their actual wins and what they should have scored, or their expected wins, which is their Pythagorean wins, based upon the amount of points that they scored. We had to adjust the actual wins as well by multiplying it by 1.0625, right? Because you're not going to give everyone a half game because of the 17. Just assume that, you know, that's going to average itself out because they might lose it, they might win it. Why would you give the Jets or the Jaguars a half game when they're most likely going to lose it? You give them the percentage of their wins, right? So with the Packers, instead of having 13 actual wins, you normalize it to 13.81. And for the Jacksonville Jaguars, for their one game, you only give them 0.06 of a win, 1.06, right? That's the only way to do it fairly. And then you look at the difference between your Pythagorean expected wins and your adjusted wins. If there's a big difference, a team either got lucky or they didn't. That's kind of how you look at it. You also want to look at your outliers here. Who's the four teams on top that were the most fortunate? The overachievers, you can call it. And which teams were on the bottom? Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Why don't you just take their total points scored over their points scored and points against and figure out what they should have won by then, right? So, example, if they score 75% of the points, allowed 25%, you take 75 over 100, they should have won 75% of the games. Well, the reason is because that's wrong. It's definitely wrong. It's not going to work out well because that just brings everything way closer to the middle. And then, for example, the Patriots in 2007, when they had that miracle year that went 16-0, they scored probably one of the biggest differences in any season. I think it might even be the most, 68.9% of the points they scored, right? And they won 16 games. But if you said that, you know, we're going to normalize it because they won 70% of their games, you'd only be at like 11.5 games. It's not right. It doesn't work. That's why the Pythagorean theorem or the Pythagorean win total applies to this situation better to find out the relationship. You need to square it. The 2007 Patriots Pythagorean win total is actually 13.75, right? So it wasn't a perfect 16-0, but if you round that up, you have 14 wins. They should have won 14, but they won 16. The best team that I've ever seen compared to the rest of the teams was the 2007 Patriots, right? So the Pythag tells the better story than giving them 11.8 wins. It even goes a little bit farther than that because statisticians have actually looked at the data points of every single season and adjusted the exponent. You know, because, you know, football, a little bit random. It's not perfect, but there is a lot more outliers. The Pythagorean theorem in general brings everything more towards the middle. So a man named Daryl Morley, a statistician, found with all the data and looking at all the differences per year that the correct exponent is actually 2.37 rather than 2, right? Use that one as a constant, and that's what we do. Now, there's a lot of discrepancy with that. Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders says that you should be doing 1.5 log times points for plus points against over the games played to find the exponent for each team. But I myself find that using a constant exponent of 2.37 doesn't deviate significantly enough from Schatz's exponent model with respect to the actual randomness in the sport itself. So I use the 2.37 and I'm fine with it. Basically, the equation is A to the 2.37 power over A to the 2.37 power plus B to the 2.37 power multiplied by 17 games. And of course, we make our adjustments, like I said, small adjustments for turnovers. Not as big as some people do, as I said earlier, smaller ones. So if you want more information, just read this article. It's probably only a 5 or 10 minute read, 2,200 words about, and it'll be able to educate you a little bit more on this. But looking at the outliers, I'm going to give you the top four on both sides. The overachievers, the Kansas City Chiefs, were number one. The Chiefs only had a 10.85 expected wins, Pythagorean wins, compared to their 14.88 adjusted win record last year. Remember, they won 14 games? Well, 14.88 adjusted for the 17 games. That's a 4.02 game difference. It's the biggest one. If you remember, Kansas City went 7-10-1 against the spread last year and 1-9-1 against the spread their last 11 games. They won a ton of close games. There was a lot of luck involved. Now, what I will say, and the reason that I don't use Pythagorean as the set-all, be-all to decide what the teams actually should have done is that there's other things like clutch performances that is unquantifiable, like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, very clutch. Cam Newton, Kirk Cousins, anti-clutch, right? So, I mean, there's factors that you have to still put in to your season win totals, including strength of schedule. That's the most important thing. How hard was the schedule last year? How hard is it next year? You can't quantify the schedule in games or in points that easily. So we stop at turnover margin. Cleveland Browns was the number two team. The Browns only had 8.02 expected wins compared to their 11.9 adjusted wins, a minus 3.67 difference. Cleveland was outscored last year, 419 to 408, yet they won 11 games. A little deceptive for them, but what I will say is they did get better towards the end of the season. Buffalo Bills was number three. They had expected wins of 11.05 compared to their 13.81 adjusted actual wins, a minus 2.66 difference. Buffalo had a pretty easy schedule. They're ATS monsters at 12-7, but their four losses, three of them were by 9 points or more, and one of them against Tennessee was by 26 points, right? So Buffalo's that team, even though they have a big deviation from their adjusted actual win total to their expected wins, I just know that the games that they did get blowout, they might have kind of just had some bad spots and gave up a little bit. So it's also, you also have to watch these games and just kind of understand these teams. I'm not going to punish them as much as like I would the Browns. Tennessee Titans is one you definitely want to punish. And they had an expected wins of 9.19 compared to their 11.69 adjusted win record last year. Minus 2.5 difference. Tennessee had plus 11 turnovers, which really helped them win a ton of games. So the turnover margin was great. They probably will have a positive turnover margin this year, but I'm not sure if it'll be by 11. So that's one of the reasons they did win a lot of their close games. Underachievers, the Atlanta Falcons. They had expected wins of 7.92 to their 4.25 adjusted actual wins, a plus 3.67 difference. Atlanta lost 8 out of their 9 games that were decided by a touchdown or less. 8 out of 9 they lost. I mean, that could have been, I mean, if they would just would have got half of them, they would have been a playoff contender there, right? Holy cow. Bad luck for them, you know? We'll see what happens this year with the new coach. Number two is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Expected wins of 4.46 compared to their 1.06 actual adjusted win total last year, a plus 3.4 difference. Now, the negative 8 turnover ratio certainly didn't help them, right? And so that was part of the reason. But they also went 7-9 against the spread, which shows you that, you know, they really did underachieve there. You know, it's not like they're getting blown away against a spread that's almost 500. So there's a lot of games there that they could have won, or at least been closer, right? So even the Jaguars should have won about four games on a 16-game schedule and maybe about 4.46 compared to the 17-game schedule. The Houston Texans, they had an expected wins of 7.01 compared to their 4.25 adjusted actual win record, a plus 2.76 difference. Having minus 9 turnovers definitely hurt this team. They're predicted to regress from their Pythag last year. If you remember, they had a big difference from their Pythagorean last year. They shouldn't have won 10 games. Lots of people bet they're under, including myself. We won that one. They blew a ton of games right at the end. And the Philadelphia Eagles, they had expected wins of 6.78 compared to their 4.25 adjusted wins, a plus 2.53 difference. Lots of injury woes last year. They went 3-5-1 in games decided by a touchdown or less. And the tie game that they had with Cincinnati hurt their wins. Because win totals, a tie doesn't count as a win. It's just completely wiped away. So they don't reward you back for the ties. So that definitely hurt Philadelphia last year. Looking at some of the other teams, the Packers stuck out as well. They won 13 games. They should have won 11.3 games, 13.81 adjusted to 11.3. Packers did get blown out at Tampa, which kind of drove that number up a little bit. or down, I would say, for Pythag. The Saints overachieved a little bit. I thought it very interesting that the Baltimore Ravens underachieved. You know, when you get higher up there, you think that the teams move more, a little bit more towards the middle because of luck, but they actually should have won 12.38 games when they won 11.69. So I wanted to point that out, right? The Bengals underachieved a little bit. They should have won 5.82 games instead of 4.25 adjusted. A couple other ones out there. Colts should have won 10.21 instead of the 11.69 that they won. They won a few close games as well. And the NFC North was pretty close, really close to their win totals. Nobody else but the Packers is even 0.5 off. So found that pretty interesting as well. Tampa Bay should have won 11.32 games based on 17-game schedule instead of the 11.69 games in the regular season. Seattle, they should have won only 10.44 games instead of their 12.75 games adjusted. They won 12 games last year. Well, if you remember, their defense was horrible. A lot of Russell Wilson antics at the end helped them. So, interesting to look at this when you're doing your season win totals for next year. And I believe that the Pythagorean wins are equally or more important to their actual win totals. But what, like what I said before, you also have to look at what they did, their actual win totals, because there's some clutch factors that are unquantifiable and strength of schedule factors as well. You also have to factor in the draft, what they did in free agency, so on and so forth, to get to your season win totals. And we will cover that deeper later into this month and to next month when we talk about NFL divisions. My friends, we'll have this article out by today or tomorrow. Please feel free to share it. Please read it. If you have any questions, tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Let's get into a little UFC on ESPN. All right, now time for a little UFC fight night on ESPN. I believe they call it 24, Rodriguez versus Watterson. And Marina Rodriguez is fighting Michelle Watterson in the main event. To be honest with you, this card isn't that good from a spectator standpoint. I mean, a lot of these names, some has-beens like Cowboy Cerrone is there, Maurice Green, you know, some guys that kind of have been around the block a while, and no big names really, you know. So this is kind of like the meh UFC fight night, I believe. And the reason it's so bad, I think, is because next week's card is so freaking amazing. UFC 262 looks absolutely awesome. We have Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. Man, that's going to be great. Chandler is that up-and-coming hungry guy. The night that Conor McGregor got knocked out, Michael Chandler, before that fight, called McGregor out. I don't know if it affected McGregor against Poirier that night, but either way, Chandler looked badass in his fight. His opponent wasn't that great, but this is going to be a fantastic main event. But you also have Beneil Dariush versus Tony Ferguson. That fight actually might even be better. You know, Caitlin Chookagan versus Viviana Araújo. So that's going to be good. Edson Barboza versus Shane Burgos. And Edmund Shabazian versus Jack Hermanson. That's going to be awesome, too. All these fights are just fantastic. But enough promotion for UFC 262, because even though this card on Saturday night isn't a good card to watch, I think it's okay for betting. There's going to be some premium plays that I already have eyed up here that I'll be giving out shortly to our clients. And here are the free premium plays that we're going to give to you. Looking at the main event, we'll just start with that.
I think there is a something worth a play here. Now, Marina Rodriguez is 13-1, so that just makes her the big favorite at minus 210, minus 200, minus 205. I'm just kind of looking on bestfightodds.com where it shows you all the main sports books and their fight odds. So, big favorite here. What has she done? I mean, she had a good career when she wasn't in the UFC. Then she gets the UFC. She pushes a tie with Ronda Marcos, beats Jessica Aguilera and Tessia Torres. You know, lower tier fighters. And then Cynthia Calvillo, she has a draw on that. And then Carla Esparza, she loses in a split decision. And then she beats Amanda Ribas. And Amanda Ribas is a good fighter, you know. And she caught Amanda Ribas with an elbow. Congrats to her. And that's probably why she's such a big favorite here. But Michelle Waterson has been around the block a few times. You know, 18-8, 3 KOs, 9 submissions, 6 decisions. You know, she kind of goes for the jugular herself. She's mean. 5'3", 115 pounds. This is definitely the strawweight class. So, in my opinion, this fight's a little mispriced. I think that Waterson should be around plus 130, 140 instead of plus 175. I like how Marina only has one loss, but at the same time, her competition hasn't been good as Waterson. Waterson has fought Carla Esparza as well, and Carla Esparza did beat her in a split decision, right? Beat her in a split decision, and then she has some good wins. Courtney Casey, Felice Herrig, a couple other decent fighters. So in my opinion, this is just a misprice. So I'm just going to put a star on Michelle Waterson for the win. Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind. All right, the next fight we're going to look at is Cowboy Cerrone is Alex Morano. In this fight, Cerrone is a pretty decent sized favorite here, right? Minus 190 to Alex Morano is about plus 165. Also depends upon which books. I see him as low as plus 135, high as plus 169 at Sportbet. But this is another mispriced fight. Cerrone hasn't won since May 4th of 2019 against Al Iaquinta. He lost then to Tony Ferguson, to Justin Gaethje, Conor McGregor, Anthony Pettis, and then he got a no contest with Nico Price. Most of these fights, he got beat up pretty good. Okay? Now, obviously that's top competition, right? But at the same time, Cerrone's getting old, right? And Alex Morano is younger. 30 years old, 18 wins, 7 losses. I mean, the kid knows how to fight. And Cowboy Cerrone here is sitting at 36-15, I think sitting here waiting for a paycheck. Looking how these guys stand up to each other. Cerrone, significant strikes landed per minute. You got to give it to Alex Morano. 4.96 to 4.43. The accuracy is about the same, 49% to 47%. A little bit of favor to Cerrone. Takedown, we'll give that to Cerrone. 1.19 per 15 minutes to 0.44 per 15 minutes. And the takedown accuracy is about the same too. So I think I'm going to go with the younger fighter and the hungrier fighter as well at plus money. So we're going to take Alex Morano for plus 160. All right, my friends, if you have any other questions about the UFC events, please tweet us at the Odds Breakers. If you obviously have any questions about our Pythagorean win totals, also please tweet us at the Odds Breakers. Have a great rest of your week watching the games, watching the fights, and go get some winners.